Well, good morning again. I am so happy to see all of you, but I'm happy that you came this morning because we have a very, very special guest. Canon J. John is here from London, England, and he and his wife, Kelly. Of course, this time last year, actually a little bit before this time, it was summer of last year, we had an outreach down at Gilly's in downtown Texas, downtown Dallas. And it's downtown Texas, too, by the way. And so that was a powerful moment. I think we had 130 or 40 decisions that day for Christ. It was a really powerful moment together. And so J. John called me, texted me, or emailed me, and said, "Hey, you know, we're coming through Dallas. Just want to let you know I'm available on a Sunday. And normally I preach at three different churches there, First Baptist, Prestonwood Baptist, or a little church called Gateway. And just wanted you to know that, you know what, I'd rather be at your place than any of those other three." And so that blessed us, huh? That blessed us. So, hey, it's great this morning to introduce to you J. John. He's going to be, I got an awesome message, so fasten your seatbelts, get ready, and let's give a big Dallas welcome to J. John.
Thank you.
You're going to be off.
No. Thank you. Good afternoon. No, it's good morning. Good morning. Oh, don't you love Joe and Nancy? Oh, honestly, they're, we meet a lot of leaders and pastors all over the world. We've been to 69 countries, and, you know, some of them are full of a particular word. And these two people are just the most underrated, gracious, humble people who love Jesus and love his people. And absolutely wonderful. Honestly, you're two great people. They've got great potential, haven't they? They just need to keep doing what they're doing. I felt impressed this morning to actually speak to you about prayer. I mean, out of all the different subjects and topics I could have spoken to you about, this is the one I feel impressed to speak to you about. One of my favorite stories is the story of the family that had just acquired a new kitten. And they were trying to give the kitten some confidence. So they put the kitten up onto a tree. It ran up this branch, but it slipped off the branch, but it managed to hang on. But because it was a little kitten, it didn't have the body weight to kind of flick itself back up onto the branch. And it's obviously in a lot of discomfort. They try and get to the kitten, but because of all the branches, they couldn't get to it. So the father, he was a pastor. He always came up with great ideas. He says, "I know what to do. I'm going to get my car. I'm going to get a rope. I'm going to tie the rope around the tree, tie it onto the car. I'll get in the car. I'll drive a bit. That'll bring down that big branch. We'll be able to maneuver around, get the little kitten down." Everyone said, "Daddy, to the rescue." Daddy gets his car, gets the rope, ties the rope around the tree, ties it onto the car, gets in the car, begins to drive. Slowly, slowly, the tree's bending, bending. The car's moving, the tree's bending. The rope snapped. As the rope snapped, the tree flung back. The little kitten went flying out in the opposite direction. That's the end of the story. Not every story has a happy ending. 2 weeks later, the pastor was visiting a member of his congregation. Knocked on the door, door opened. The pastor said, "Come in." Walked in. There in the hallway was his little kitten. It was unmistakable. Now, he didn't want to say, "That's my little kitten." So he said, "That's a lovely little kitten you've got. Have you had her long?" She said, "Pastor, you are not going to believe this." But it was 2 weeks ago, and it was a hot, sunny Saturday afternoon, and I was out in my garden with my little son, and my son said, Mummy, please, can we have a kitten?" I said, "No, we've discussed this before. We are not going to have a kitten." But he pestered me and pestered me. The only thing I could think of doing was to say, "I tell you what we'll do. Let's kneel down here. and pray to the Lord Jesus. And if the Lord Jesus wants you to have a kitten, he'll send you a kitten. Pastor, you are not going to believe this. When we pray, coincidences happen, and when we don't, they don't. Okay? Repeat that after me, okay? When we pray... No, after me. When we pray... coincidences happen. And when we don't, they don't. Okay, that's worth tweeting. Tweet that. I like going viral while I'm preaching. So tweet it, Instagram it. You know, if I say anything good, well, I might tell you it was good in case you didn't realize it was good. Just get it out there. I'm Canon J. John. It's so true. When we pray, coincidences happen. And when we don't, they don't. What is the word count of the Declaration of Independence? 1,320 words. What is the word count, okay, I'm from England, of the European Union regulation report on the sale of cabbage? 26,911 words. Bureaucracy. What is the word count of the Ten Commandments? 179 words. What is the word count of the Lord's Prayer? 66 words. Just 66 words. So the disciples of Jesus said, Jesus, we really don't know how to pray. We're struggling. We're struggling to know how best to connect with God. How should we pray? Jesus said, pray like this. 66 words. That's all it is. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In those 66 words, there are six petitions, six requests. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It begins with praise. So like the disciples of Jesus are saying, you know, how do we do this? And Jesus says, you start with praise. That's why we started with praise. And wasn't that praise beautiful? Yeah, beautiful. We started with praise because praise is about fixing your eyes on the Lord. And enlarging your sight, your perspective, and then it dwarfs all your other concerns. There was a little boy, he said to his mother, Mum, is God in the house? And the mum thought and said, yes, of course he is. And the boy said, Mummy, if he's in the house, is he in the kitchen? So the mum thought, well, he's in the house. He's got to be in the kitchen, isn't he? Yeah, of course he is. And the boy said, if he's in the house and he's in the kitchen, you know the marmalade jar without the top on it? Is he in the marmalade jar? What do you reckon? What do you think? Yeah. He's in there. Yeah? He's in there. So when the kettle's boiling, God's in there having a sauna. No, it's just good to know what you believe, isn't it? So the mother thought about it. He's in the house. He's in the kitchen. And she thought, well, he's got to be in the marmalade jar. Yes, he is. And the little boy went, I've got him. Do you know, a lot of people say, I've got God. If you've got God, you haven't got God. You can't say this is God. God is unboxable. It is only as you and I come humbly before God that we can begin to fathom and understand God. And so the prayer request is, our Father in heaven. This awesome God is a father. Now, for some of us, whoa, that concept doesn't sit well with us because we had a bad experience of our human fathers. You see, that's why the request says, our Father in heaven. Heaven is perfection. So, irrespective of the imperfections of your own father, do not project those imperfections onto God, the perfect Father. God, the perfect Father, as the psalmist said in Psalm 103, he is like a father to us. He is tender. He is sympathetic. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. Start there. Acknowledge God. Seek God. Start with praise. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We now move to the second petition. What's that about? It's about purpose. Purpose. We're asking for his sovereign reign and rule over our lives. Oh, but Lord, I've got needs. No. Don't get onto those yet. We'll get onto them in a minute. No. First of all, encounter the true and living God. Then ask for his sovereign reign and rule. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, it has that beautiful picture of Jesus standing outside of a door of a house knocking. And it says this, if you hear the knock, open the door, let Jesus in. When I was a student in London, I wasn't a Christian, but I met a Christian. And over a period of time, he explained and introduced me to Jesus. He then showed me this picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And he said, have you opened the door? And I'm like, where's the door? I don't know where the door is. And he said, don't worry about it. Just ask Jesus to break the door down. And I did. On the 9th of February, 1975, I said, Jesus, break this door and come into my life. And whoa, the light came on. My heart was warmed. Many of us here, we've invited him in, haven't we? We've invited him in. Where is he? Did you open a cupboard and then put him in and close the door? Did you kind of lock him away in a little compartment within your house? See, sometimes we can say we want him in our lives, but I'm not sure we want him to reign and rule in our lives. We want him in our lives because we want the benefits. It's a good insurance policy for the future. But I'm not sure I want him reigning and ruling in my life. The Bible says, regarding the presence of Jesus by his Spirit in our lives, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not resist the Holy Spirit. So when you invite him in, don't then restrict him and restrict what he wants to do in your life. Take him down to the basement to clear out the cobwebs. Take him into the attic to clear out the bats. Take him into the sitting room, the dining room, the kitchen. Take him into every room. In other words, make him resident and president. You see, if you say to Christians particularly, is Christ resident in your life? Oh, yes, he is. Okay, is he president? Yes. He's got to be resident and president. What would happen? What would happen if Jesus came to your house today? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you would do. I know you would give him the nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you would serve to him would be the very best. You would keep on reassuring him you were glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would your welcome be sincere? Or deep down, would you worry that this man had come too near? Or would you have a change of clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off your computer and hope that he had not seen the picture that was showing on your screen? I wonder if the Saviour spent a day or two with you, would you choose to keep on doing all those things you often do? Would you choose to keep on saying all those things you often say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation lull or keep its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person and spent some time with you. How are you feeling? It's like a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? It's like, do we really want Jesus to visit us? Are we ready? Are the doors open? Is he resident and is he president? That's what we're praying here. That is the prayer that's being prayed. Lord, we want you to be resident. We want you to be president. And then we move to give us our daily bread. So we move from praise to purpose to now provision. Jesus has enormous compassion for the hungry, the homeless, the sick, and the casualties of injustice. And he wants to express this compassion through you and me, his body, the church. That's how he wants to express it. There was this man at an airport, and he wanted to buy a bag of very small donuts and a coffee. So he buys his coffee, buys his donuts, and he's looking for somewhere to sit, but all the tables are taken. But there's one table where there's one man sitting. So he thinks, I'll just go and sit opposite him. Goes to the table, puts his bags down, puts his coat around the table, sits on the table. Picks up his coffee, has a sip. Picks up the bag of donuts, opens it, takes out a donut, starts eating it. The man opposite stretches over and picks up the bag of donuts, takes out a donut, starts eating it, and smiles. The other man cannot believe what he's just seen. I can't believe he's just taken one of my donuts. He's like in shock. What is the world coming to? But he doesn't know what to say, but he thinks, I better not say anything because the man might be a bit violent. You don't know. So he picks up the bag of donuts and he moves it to the front, takes out another donut, but he leaves it at the edge of the table, turns round and starts reading his paper. The man opposite stretches over, picks up the bag of donuts, takes out another donut. Starts eating it and he smiles. So the man thinks he's obviously not quite there, isn't it? The elevator doesn't go to the top. The man then gets up to leave. So the other man thought, it's about time you left, you donut thief. I only had four donuts and you've stolen two. And he looks at his watch. Oh, it's time for me to go. So he gets up, He puts his coat on. He bends down to pick up his bag, and sitting on top of his bag was his bag of donuts. He was complaining that the other man had stolen his donuts, when the truth was the other man was sharing his donuts. Now listen to me. God owns all the donuts. So don't complain, because God owns all the donuts. Every week, you and I, we get given a bag of donuts. Every person gets given a bag of donuts. In the bag, there are 10 donuts. The value of the donuts will vary from person to person, but we all get 10. God says, now, by the way, they're 10 secular donuts. It's very important to understand this point. They're secular donuts. God says, take one of the secular donuts and give it to me. Give it to my body. Give it to my my church. And we go, oh, no. No. Because there's 10. I need 11. So if I need 11, why would I give one away? Because then I'll only have 9. You see, they don't understand the principle here. They're secular donuts. If you take a secular donut and you give it to God, into his church that you're part of, you give it, that donut becomes sacred. When that donut becomes sacred, the other 9 donuts become sacred. 9 sacred donuts are worth more than 10 secular ones. See, people don't get this principle. It's very important to understand this basic principle. You see, and then we have 9 donuts. Now, some of us, you know, we've got lots of outgoings. We've got children. We've got mortgages. We're running the car. And sometimes, and it's incredible. Either the 9 donuts whoosh, just expand, or God prompts somebody and they come along and they go, could I give you a donut? And you go, oh, yes, please. And God provides through his people in other ways. Now, some of us are in a different season of our lives, and we don't need the 9 donuts. We actually don't need them. You know, we don't have a mortgage, we're fine, the kids have left home, or whatever it is, or it does. We don't need the 9 donuts. And that's when God says, hey, actually, you don't need the 9 donuts. So why don't you give a donut to this ministry, or give a donut here, or give a donut there. God owns all the donuts. They're not ours anyway. Have you heard the phrase, you can't take it with you when you die? Have you heard that? Yeah. Look, if you can't take it with you when you die, send it on ahead. And you send it on ahead by investing it in helping other people to get there. You know, when my father died, he's Cyprus. I'm Greek Cypriot. Greek Cypriot funeral has got lots of drama to it, and it's like all day everyone was there, and it's like, oh, and by the end of the evening they're all in my mother's home, and I was like, go home. I mean, you've been here all day, what's wrong with you? You know, anyway, so and there was a whole group of men in one of the lounges, and the women were like in the kitchen and the garden, and I was just hovering with my brother, and then one man turned and said to the rest of the men, did George, my father, did George leave much? So I turned round and I said, yes, he left everything. It's like, what do you mean, did he leave much? He left the lot. But it sounds much better in Greek. I'll do it for you in Greek. Ne, efigenda, ulla, geto sovragondo. You see, you can feel the light, the energy. And all these men were like, You see, so now we've prayed for provision. And now we move from provision to pardon. Forgive us our sins. Sin and guilt are like garbage. And we have to take them out repeatedly and regularly. See, most of us have a garbage can under the sink, don't we? Under the sink, well, we do in our home, it's under the sink. Now, you know, just imagine the garbage can filled, and then we kept chucking stuff in there. And then the cupboard was so full of garbage, it's like we had to push the door to close the door, and it's coming out. So like the door open, all this garbage falls out. And then we go outside, we bring the big garbage can into the kitchen. It's like, what's wrong with you? Are you an idiot? You wouldn't do, look, when the little garbage can's full, take it out. Take it out. It's the same with us. If we've got sins, regrets, disappointments, whatever it is, take it out. Take it out regularly and repeatedly. Put it at the foot of the cross. Take it out. Take it out. And because Jesus wants us to be clean, he doesn't want us to be cluttered. And he doesn't want us to suffocate. So he wants us to be clean. He's done it for us by dying on the cross, and he's welcoming us to keep coming at the cross and laying them there. And then the prayer goes on, as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, if we don't forgive other people, we break the bridge on which we must cross. And so Jesus forgives us so that we can forgive other people. That's how it works. And it doesn't matter what other people have done to you, what they've said, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not true, whether they've hurt you, they've slandered you, that whatever it is, forgive them. Because if you don't forgive them, it becomes poison in your own heart, in your own spirit. And so what you're doing is you're hurting yourself more by not forgiving them. Forgive them. Let go. Move away. Let God deal with them. And then we now move to the next petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some of us need to pray, deliver us from email. So now we move to protection. So you see, we started with praise. We've understood the purpose. We've moved and then prayed for the provision that we need. We've asked for pardon. We then asked, help us to pardon other people because you've pardoned us. Now we're saying, oh, could you protect us? We need protection. And God has provided us with protection. He's provided us with his armor. Armor. He's given us great armor to wear. A helmet. A breastplate. A shield. A sword. And shoes. The shoes are the gospel of peace. The belt is the belt of truth. The sword of the spirit. The shield of faith. The helmet. You know, some people are always dissecting the helmet, especially theologians. They're dissecting it. And while they're dissecting it, the devil gets into their heads. That's why they write a load of nonsense. You've got to put the helmet on there. Now, you all looked dressed this morning. Is there anyone naked here this morning? No, I think not. I think you all actually got dressed to come to church. Okay, let me ask you this question. Is there anybody spiritually naked here this morning? When you left your home, did you put on the armor of God? Now, maybe you didn't put it on because you never took it off the night before. That's a good point. That's a good point, isn't it? But I think if we're honest, if I said to you, if I pushed you and said, when did you last put on the armor of God? I would imagine you'd struggle to remember. When did you last put it on? Put it on every day. I put it on in the shower. Now, please don't picture me in the shower. Don't go there. But while the water's running, I'm like, the water's running, and I always pray, baptize me in your spirit, Lord. Baptize me in your spirit. I'm like, oh, Lord, just saturate me with your power and your presence. And I'm like, as I do this as a daily routine, and then I put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I put on the helmet of salvation, I put on the belt of truth, I put on the good news of peace, I take the shield, take the sword, and I get out that shower, and I've already power dressed. I tell you, I'm Hercules when I come out of that shower. I'm serious, I'm power dressed. I may not look it, but I'm power dressed for anything for the day. And then I put on my clothes. I'm already dressed up. Put it on, put it on. The armor that he has provided for us. And then we say, for the kingdom, the power, the glory are yours now and forever. So now, what's Jesus saying? Perspective. Get that eternal perspective. The end of the prayer leaves us looking upward and forward to a God of purpose and power. And for the Christian, heaven isn't simply a destination, it is a motivation. That we live our lives in the light of eternity. Eternal life is living the life that God lives. That's it. And start living it here on earth. And then we say, Amen, which means truly, yes. Yes, that's what the word Amen means. Truly, I commit myself to this. Am I prepared to live in a way that is consistent with my prayer? You see, do I want to be a Christian? Do I want to live as a Christian? Well, there you are. 66 words, 6 petitions. Pray them, live them. That would be living the Christian life. Yeah, I don't know why I do this, but if I pick up a magazine or a newspaper, I always like to look to see what job advertisements there are. I mean, I'm very happy in what I'm doing, so there's no issue there. I mean, I've been doing it 38 years, but I like to look. I sometimes look to see what the salaries are, actually. And and then I'm just curious. Anyway, and sometimes at an airport, I often pick up magazines. And I always have a little... Anyway, there was one science magazine that I picked up. And the advertisement was this. Wanted person to work on nuclear isotope, molecular reactor counters, and 3-phase cyclotronic uranium photosynthesizers. No experience necessary. Do you know something? You and I, we have been called to a far more demanding task. No experience necessary. Only obedience. That's it. No experience necessary, only obedience. The paternity of prayer, Father. The priority of prayer, hallowed be your name. The program of prayer, your kingdom come. The provision of prayer, give us each day our daily bread. The pardon of prayer, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. The protection of prayer, and lead us not into temptation. But I cannot say our if I'm only living for myself. I cannot say Father if I don't try to act like his child. I cannot say hallowed be your name if I'm not striving to be clean and pure and holy. I cannot say your kingdom come if I'm not playing my part. Killy and I were at a church for about 17 years. And every time we went, it felt like, because we're away most weekends, and we would go to church once every 5 weeks. But that's because I'm in a different church. It's not like we don't go to church. We do go to church, but I minister in different churches. So we go to church, and it felt like every time we went to church, they would announce, oh, we need more helpers. We need more helpers to help with the children. Oh, we need more helpers to help with the babies. And I was like, what's wrong with this church? Why don't people volunteer? I can't believe people don't volunteer. Okay, so that was like, next time we go, again, we need more people. We need people to help to go on the coffee rota. And I had the same thing. What is wrong with this church? Why don't people volunteer? And then I felt this, I want you to volunteer. I want you to do the coffee. And I thought, like, the word came out and it should have gone behind me. I did. So I actually turned round to see who it should have gone to. But it's like, you know, a bit like the Wi-Fi. It kind of should have gone round here, but it went here. And I felt the Lord say, I want you to do the coffee. I said, Lord, I am not a barista. I mean, honestly, Lord, I mean, look what I do for you. I mean, look what I do for you. You want me to be a barista? Anyway, I was so burdened through the service. I got to the end of the service. I said, Killy, I said, the Lord wants us to do coffee. So she knows me. She goes, oh, come on, pull the other leg. You mean he wants you to do the coffee? I said, I can't do it on my own. You know, put on that sad voice. Oh, you got to help me. Oh, she's all right. Let's go and sign up for coffee. So we went to sign up for coffee. And I said to the lady, oh, I want to sign up for coffee. She started laughing. She says, you don't want to do the coffee. I said, I don't. She says, you're never here. I said, but I'm here once every 5 weeks. So I said, can I do it every 5 weeks? So I signed up for coffee. She says, you've got to be here early. I said, all right, I'll be early. So Killy and I did the coffee every 5 weeks for 3 years. I loved it. I met more people every 5 weeks for 3 years than I had the previous 17 years. And we had banter and all that. And actually, we didn't like the coffee that they were serving. We thought it was horrible. So we bought our own. And and it was really nice coffee. And everyone knew, if you want nice coffee, go every 5 weeks. And then they didn't have cookies. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. How can you have a coffee without a cookie? I mean, you got to have a cookie with a coffee. Yeah? So then we bought cookies. And we were the only ones that served cookies. And everyone like, if you want a cookie, go every 5 weeks, you know. And we would banter all these people. We'd have to do two morning services, do the coffee. I loved it. And then after 3 years, I heard the Lord say, that's it. You don't need to do the coffee anymore. And I'm like, oh, but I want to. I want to do the coffee. He goes, no. That's it. You've done it. You know, so I cannot say your kingdom come if I'm not willing to play my part. So has the Lord asked you to do something? Help with car parking? Help with hoovering the carpet, maybe? Help with children or youth, or help with practical things? We've all got to do our part to serve. I cannot say, your will be done, if I'm disobedient to his word. I cannot say, on earth as it is in heaven, if I'm unwilling to serve him. I cannot say, give us this day our daily bread, if I'm not being a channel of his provision. I cannot say, forgive us our sins, if I harbor a grudge against someone. I cannot say, lead us into temptation, if I deliberately place myself in its path. Some people have got this idea, haven't they? How close to the edge can I get without falling off? What kind of nonsense is that? What? How close? I mean, it's like me now speaking. Oh, how close to the edge can I get while I'm preaching without falling off? Don't be stupid, J. John. Back off from the edge. You know, so you can't pray that prayer and then put yourself in a place of vulnerability. I cannot say, deliver us from evil, if I haven't put on the armor of God. I cannot say, thine is the kingdom, if I am not loyal to the king as his faithful subject. I cannot attribute to him the power if I fear what people may say. I cannot ascribe to him the glory if I'm seeking honor only for myself. I cannot say forever if my life is bounded completely by the things of time. Lord, can you teach us how to pray? Can you teach us how we can seriously connect with God? What do we have to do? Pray like this. Pray these 66 words. Take the 6 petitions. Take the 6 principles. Let the belief connect with the behavior. Live these principles out. And if you do that, well, then you'll know what it's really all about. Tyler, you here? Is it Tyler? Come here. Can you help me with a little illustration? Yeah. Okay, good. Now, you were a soldier, weren't you?
A Marine.
You're a Marine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, you would know how to arrest people, wouldn't you?
If you had to.
Okay, so if I resisted arrest... Uh-huh. Would you arrest me now, but don't hurt me? How would you do it? You said surrender, and I refuse to surrender. What would you do?
I would probably start with this. No,
and then? Yeah. And then what would you do?
I'd probably knock your knees down.
That's good. That's good. And then what would you do? If I was down and you had me completely down, what would you do then?
I would handcuff you.
Do you want God to arrest you? No. I suggest you surrender. And to be honest, he was playing it low key. If he really wanted to do it, he would have slammed me down. If he wanted to do it, look how quickly, you know, he did that. And that was slow motion. Trust me, you do not want to be arrested by God. Surrender. Surrender to God. Surrender to God your life. Surrender to God your time. Surrender to God your talents. Surrender to God your treasure. Surrender to God. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If you hear the knock, open the door, let him in. If you have not yet opened the door, open it now. In just a moment, if you would like to open the door, all I'm going to ask you to do is to stand up. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. Stand up. Like, that's your way of saying, I surrender. Others of you here today, Jesus is in your house. He's in your life. But maybe you realize now, hey, actually, I've restricted him. And I need to open the doors of my life, the doors of my house. Some of you have realized, wow, I know the words of the Lord's Prayer, and I can recite it, 66 words, but I'm not sure I've actually lived those principles out in my life. But I want to live those principles out. You stand as well. When you're all standing, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer. And then I'm going to pray for you. And then we've got something to give you. That's what we want to do. Close your eyes. Take a moment to consider what you've heard. Some of you know you've got to open that door and let him in for the first time. Others of you have got to open the doors in the house. They're all, and give Jesus access. Some of you have got Jesus resident, but he's not yet president. Make him president today. Some of you need to say, hey, Lord, I haven't been living the Lord's Prayer. I've just been saying it. But I want to live the Lord's Prayer. So you stand as well. If you'd like to stand, please stand now. Can you do that now, please? Just stand up now. Wonderful. Great. Wonderful. Great. Wonderful. Just before I pray, anyone else wants to stand? There are many of you standing, but anyone want to stand, please join. Okay, all those of you standing, I'm going to pray this prayer phrase by phrase. I will pray it once. The second time I pray it, can you please pray the prayer out loud with me? Now, if you're sitting down and you just want to reaffirm your faith, can you join in and pray the prayer with us? Here's the prayer. Jesus, I bow before you now. Jesus, I bow before you now. I come just as I am. I come just as I am. I know I have done many things wrong. I know I have done many things wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask you to forgive me. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my life. Set me free from the past. Set me free from the past. I open the door of my life now. I open the door of my life now. Come in by your Holy Spirit. Come in by your Holy Spirit. I want you to be resident and president. I want you to be resident and president. Reign and rule over my life. Reign and rule over my life. I offer my life to you. I offer my life to you. I offer my time, talents, and treasure. I offer my time, talents, and treasure. Help me from this day on. Help me from this day on to validate my faith in you, to validate my faith in you, in thought and word and deed, in thought and word and deed. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. As you stand, a prayer for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I announce and I pronounce his forgiveness. May each of you know his cleansing. May each of you know the presence of his Spirit on you and in you and with you. May you and all of us know his protective armor being placed on us, helmet, shield, sword, breastplate, belt, and shoes. Protect us, Lord God, as we endeavor to fix our eyes upon you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you please take your seats? I'm going to pray one more prayer before I hand back to Pastor Joe. The Jesus that we've sung about, the Jesus that we've spoken about, is known by many, many different titles, including the Great Physician. We live in a world of miracle and mystery, but we know this, that Jesus is concerned about the things that concern us. Now, if you have a health concern, or you're concerned about someone who has a health concern who's not here, put your hand on your heart. That's either to represent yourself or to represent someone who's not here. Lord Jesus, we're asking you as the great physician to release your healing presence, your healing balm on us and those that we're representing. We pray where there is any kind of sickness, disease, or infection, we pray that you will cleanse it from our bodies. Where there has been any kind of degeneration, we pray now for regeneration and restoration. Lord, you created us in our mother's womb, and so you can recreate us. And we're asking you now, please recreate us, restore us. We speak health and wholeness and well-being in body, in mind, and in spirit. May your healing balm rest on us and in us. And may you give us a tangible sign of your healing this week. We pray and we ask this in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Just before I hand back to Pastor Joe, it was wonderful to see those of you that stood up. And Pastor Joe's going to have a word with you. And we want to pray for you. And we want to give you a little booklet that I've written called Making the Connection. And in addition, have brought this postcard, and I want to give you this postcard. It's a postcard of a very famous painting of Jesus knocking on the door, like in Revelation 3:20. The original painting is in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And we want to give you this card. Want you to write your name, write the date, write Trinity Church, and write down, I stood up because. And just make a note of what you decided to do today. And you can either put this in your Bible or put it somewhere. You know, it's like a little memento. And you think, I remember that day. That day I surrendered. That day I opened the door. That day. And so we want to give that to you and just encourage you in your journey of faith. I've brought two books. One is called God's Priorities, and it's Living the Lord's Prayer Every Day. And if you would like to dig deeper and understand much more those principles that I outlined, you might like to dig into this. And then this is brand new, literally, and I'm so excited. And it's called Knowing God for Children. And it's beautifully illustrated. I can say that because I didn't illustrate it. And but I wrote the text. And it's you can give this to a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew or a neighbor's child or whatever. And it just explains how a child can know God. So that's available. Thank you. It's lovely, Joe. Thank you so much. Over to you. Blessings, everyone. Blessings.
Let's all stand together. We have a ministry team, so the ministry team will just come up now. Those of you that a moment ago stood up when Jay John gave you an opportunity to stand and be prayed for, we want to cement that with you. We want to stand with you in that and stand for you in that. And I know that there are people here that you need God to intervene in your life, in your marriage, in your family. Need God to intervene in your health, your finances. And we just believe that God is willing and able to do that. But sometimes you got to make a step. We have this card, Jesus, knocking on the door. It's a painting by William Holman Hunt that hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. And I think the special thing about this moment is this, is that God may be knocking on the door of your heart this morning. You know, we all live in a house with lots of rooms in it. And I know, like many of you know, that you've let Jesus into the house. But some of us, some of you, have a room in that house you wouldn't dare let him come into. Maybe it's a room where you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe it's a room where you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Maybe it's a room where, you know what, you're just living in the own power of your own strength. And it's just the moment, you know, where you need to open that door and let Jesus come in. And so if that fits you, then we're here to pray with you and stand with you. Anything in your life spiritually, anything in your physical life, your marriage, your relationships, anything with your health, or any place in your life you need Jesus to move, we're here to help you. So those of you that raised your hands, won't you come first? And then you that want to come up and be prayed with, come after them. So just come now. Come now quickly, if you will. Quickly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask Nancy to come, and we're going to pray for you too. We want to lay hands on you, pray for you, and just agree with what God is doing in your life. Greg and Carrie, the Lord gave me a word for you guys. I don't see Carrie back there. There she is. Thank you, Carrie, for being up here. Greg, why don't you come and stand by her? I wasn't thinking about it, but when I was sitting there in the last few minutes, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me. I saw you, too, in my mind's eye. And what I saw was you guys praying for people. And as you were praying for them, God was touching their hearts, touching their lives, healing them. And Greg, I saw you put your hands on people. And as you put your hands on people, things were happening in their life. The presence of the Lord was just coming on them. And my sense is that really, God is opening a new door for you. There's a new day coming. There's a new season coming. That so many of the things that you have been able to accomplish, you've been able to accomplish it on your personality, on your resources, on your relationships, but that there's a whole nother level coming that where you cannot see it accomplished. You cannot see it done. This is just, you look back and just say, only God could have done that. And I just see in your marriage and in your life, in your home, just the presence of the Lord just invading and coming in. And God beginning to speak to you about things you can change, things that he wants to change in the city, and giving you faith to step out. Lord, we don't have a clue how this is going to work, but we're going to step out in it. And as you begin to step out in it, I just see the Lord just saying, you know, along the way, as you touch these lives and you pray for these people, things are going to change in their lives. There's a power, there's a revival in you. There's a move of God in your life. Don't settle for anything less. Begin to step out and move out in faith, believing that God is going to use you in powerful ways. It's like a lightning rod. Just get in the right place, and you're going to be a real channel for the lightning and the power of God in your lives. And so I just believe there's a new season for you. It's a new thing God's fixing to do with you. And Greg, I'm telling you, God's going to really use you. I mean, you have a wealth of wisdom and information. God's going to translate that into life-changing, life-transforming power. And so, yeah, praise the Lord for you guys. Yeah, glad y'all are here. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Lord. Lord, pour out your spirit. Those of you that are standing out there, if you just extend your hands this direction, and let's pray for these that are at the altar. Father, pour out your spirit on every person standing here at the altar. Lord, let the power of God be released in their lives now in Jesus' name. I break the power of divorce, of separation, of sickness and disease now in the name of Jesus. And I speak life and healing over every person standing at this altar and every one of us in this room. Touch all of our hearts, God. Change our lives, Lord. Use us as instruments of transformation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, say this after me. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my home, of my house, and every room in my house. Nothing shall be closed to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five, a handshake, a hug. Pray for somebody before you leave. Ask someone, can I pray for you guys? Can I pray with you? And just see what God does here in this moment. Thank you for coming. Aren't you glad Jay John was with us today? Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you for coming. Awesome, awesome day. Thank you, sir. Yes.